Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture.
I'll be reading two different passages. The first one is Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Happy are the people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. Mark 14, 1 and 2. It was 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and legal experts, through cunning tricks, were searching for a way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But they agreed that it shouldn't happen during festival. Otherwise, there would be an uproar among the people. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Glorious and loving Lord, I pray that our worship will be acceptable to you, that our thoughts, our hearts, our actions will glorify you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together will be acceptable to you, dear Lord, our Redeemer and Savior. Amen. For this season of Lent, we have been studying about revival. Some have been actually studying the book Revival by Adam Hamilton. But we've been really talking about the revival of the Christian faith. The revival of the Christian faith through John Wesley, and the Methodist movement that has brought us to this place and this time as the United Methodist Church. John Wesley being the founder of the Methodist movement alongside his brother Charles, while still kind of on a much, much smaller scale, new persecution, new harassment, much like Jesus did. Of course, we know Jesus was far worse. John Wesley did know some persecution. You see, John Wesley had a vision. He had a vision that all followers of Jesus Christ would spend time daily in prayer. And he taught them how to do that. And he had this vision that followers of Jesus Christ would meet together in small groups. And in those small groups, they would care well for one another. They would study scripture. They would read other faith-filled works. John Wesley had a vision that all followers of Jesus Christ would give generously to those in need and to the ministries of the church in which they were a part. And John Wesley had a vision that all people, followers of Jesus Christ, would want to serve in the name of Christ and would want to worship regularly with one another. This was kind of a different way of doing things in the Church of England. You attended worship to be seen, and you gave money to make sure that everybody knew you were giving money, but there was not a lot of holiness in a lot of areas in the church in England. And so he was challenging the church in his time because of these concerns of trying to keep up appearances and not keeping up holiness with Jesus Christ. Wesley was met with great opposition in his quest for holiness. And as he sought it for himself and sought it for others, there were roadblock after roadblock after roadblock to him. Wesley's challenge of the church, and he was challenging the church, and would actually stand at the pulpit and challenge the church to a greater level of holiness. And when this happened, he eventually said some things that caused him to be banned from the churches in England. Eventually, he just was banned from church after church because he spoke the truth in love and called some of those folks to task. This, however, did not stop John Wesley from continuing to preach and to teach. In fact, he eventually took to the streets and took to the market squares. And one of the things about the market squares in England at the time is in the center of the square was a cross. Now, you have to remember that the Church of England and the king were one and the same. So the king was the head of the Church of England, and so there was not separation of church and state in England. Okay, so that's part of our heritage of our American Revolution. But in the town square, there were these crosses, and the crosses were placed there so that folks in the marketplace would conduct themselves in a Christ-like way, so that Jesus couldn't come in and turn over the money changers' tables like he did in the temple in Jerusalem. And so as he preached and taught in this mid-1700s, he would stand at the foot of that cross. So he'd be up on a little bit of a pedestal, and he'd stand at the foot of the cross regularly and preach and teach. He did this for about 19 years and did so under great harassment and oppression. In fact, across England, he was not very well received because he was calling people to this different kind of life, calling them away from selfishness. And believe it or not, he was pelted with rotten tomatoes. So that was a thing back then. He was pelted with manure. And he was pelted with stones. And even though they did this to him, and even pulled him off there, so imagine the crosses here, and they would pull him down the steps and throw him to the ground, and he would get back up at the foot of that cross and continue to preach and teach. Did not let the oppression pull him down and stop him from this task, this call that God had given him. He stuck to his druthers, even in the midst of persecution. In our scripture reading this morning, it talks about what it's like for that. And Jesus in Matthew is talking about being persecuted or harassed. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy because your reward is in heaven. This is what was happening to John Wesley as he was trying to call people to this revival, to this time of holiness. And God blessed his ministry. And by the time he died, thousands and thousands of people had been sparked into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ and were living a holy life. The great revival of Christianity took place under Wesley's leadership happened because he refused to give up despite all the violence and the oppression that he experienced. To a lesser degree, John Wesley experienced some of the persecution and opposition that Jesus Christ did in his ministry. Because as Jesus preached and taught, he challenged the legalism of the church, and he too was met with opposition. You may recall that he healed on the Sabbath and that he allowed a woman who was considered unclean because she'd been bleeding for a decade to touch his cloak, and that he touched lepers who were considered unclean, and he prevented a woman from being stoned. Okay, he upset what was happening, and he was, in a sense, trying to call for a revival of the church, of the temple in Jerusalem, so much so that on Sunday, on Palm Sunday, he was praised and hailed as the king, and then it quickly went downhill from there to the point when Thursday he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was popular with the people, but the leaders were afraid of him. You see, Jesus, too, had a vision. He had a vision for a deeper walk with God. And Jesus preached and taught to love God and to love neighbor. We're just talking about that, Melinda. Thank you for that. Sometimes to do this, it means that we need to go against the grain. It means that we need to do things differently in our life. It means that we need to spend our money differently. It means that we need to heal on the Sabbath and eat with sinners and break some Jewish laws. Jesus was an advocate for the poor. And this was not so much the way of the leaders at the time. There were plenty of leaders that were happy being leaders. Jesus talks about scripture of the leaders walking around the marketplace in their fancy priest robes and doing and making sure that they were seen, but in their hearts there was anger and lust and deceit. Jesus had a vision for God that ultimately brought about his own death. John Wesley and Jesus Christ both knew that when you have a vision, when you have a vision for change, when you have a vision for growth, when you have a vision for deeper holiness, some people will oppose it. John and Jesus knew that when you challenge the status quo, challenge the way you've always done things, that you will ruffle some feathers along the way. John Wesley and Jesus knew that when you are passionate about drawing people into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ, people will be skeptical about that. And Jesus and John Wesley knew that when you seek to make changes that foster spiritual growth, you will encounter resistance. Jesus, who was praised on Sunday and then was persecuted on Thursday, asked more of his followers, of Jesus, his own followers, and asked more of the people in which he was preaching to. John Wesley asked more of his folks that he gathered around him, and I, your pastor, am calling each of you to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ, to consider what it is you are doing to get closer to Jesus. And I guess I ask you, do you really desire to get closer to Jesus, or do you just want to do a Sunday kind of Christian thing? Do you praise Jesus on Palm Sunday and then persecute him on Thursday, as the people in Jerusalem did of Jesus? By going back to, you do this by going back to your own lives unchanged and back to your own selfish living? Or do you really buy into this whole faith thing? Do you really want your heart to change and be more like Jesus, to be more holy? Do you want revival in your own lives? So much so that you make prayer and Bible study and group study and worship a priority in your lives, in your everyday lives? Or are you just planning to gloss over everything today, gloss over the events of Holy Week, and jump right into Easter and celebrate and be excited that Jesus is risen without remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross? In confirmation today, we talked about what crucifixion is really like. Some of these young people plugged their ears because it was so horrible. Crucifixion was not a glorious thing. Jesus was being made an example for others for the behaviors that he was doing. Jesus' betrayal is a serious thing, and his death is a serious thing. He did it so us, all of us, sinners, we're all sinners, could be forgiven of our sins. Ultimately, it is up to us to draw nearer to Jesus Christ. Jesus is always there for us, but we have to draw nearer to Jesus in our own lives in order to experience true revival in our hearts, true revival in our lives, take back our schedules and our lives and our money for the sake of Jesus Christ. Children and youth are bullied at school, and they feel alone at school and in their neighborhoods. And adults don't know who to turn to when times are tough. We could be the people that are revival here in Tipton, in this church and in our schools, so that our young people don't have to feel that way, so that people in our own church don't have to feel alienated when they come. Why not draw closer to Jesus Christ? Why not support one another in love? That's what Jesus calls us to. Jesus, who was praised and persecuted. John Wesley, who was praised and persecuted. This church, potentially praised and persecuted. We all have a vision for doing things, treating one another with care and in a way that reaches out to the sick and the lost and the hungry. When this happens, when we truly, truly experience revival in our hearts and in this church, then on Palm Sunday, we praise Jesus. And then on Thursday, we are persecuted with Jesus. Because to truly be into a relationship with Christ, we have to go to the cross, and we have to be persecuted too. Don't gloss over Holy Week. Don't forget what's about to happen for Jesus. We have much to learn from the crowd on Sunday who waved Hosanna and said, "Save us," and then yelled, "Crucify him." Some of the same people yelled, "Crucify him." Let us not be those people. Let us be people who are no revival in our lives and are drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty and loving Lord, Easter means nothing unless we go to the cross with you. Help each of us to go to the cross with you. Help each of us to recount the events that led to your death. Let us be in grief on Good Friday for the loss of your life. Let us be sad on Saturday as your people were sad, thinking that there was no hope. We are Easter people and know that there is hope. That hope is diminished unless we go to the cross with you, Lord Jesus. Help us go there. Amen.